You're listening to the Household of Christ podcast. Be encouraged and inspired as we dive into God's Word.
So today I want to talk to you about what do you see? What do you see when you look at this nation? What do you see when you look at your family? What do you see when you look at your business? I read a story about William Blake. He looked at the sun rising with a merchant one morning, and as the sun came up and broke into 1,000 different colors, lighting up the sky, the merchant said, "I see gold, I see gold." And William Blake looked and he said, "I see the glory of God, and I hear angels saying that the whole earth is filled with the glory of God." Amen. What you see will determine your response. What you see is how you will respond. When you look at a situation, when you look at your circumstances, what you see is how you will respond. The merchant saw gold. William Blake saw the glory of God. Both of them were right. They both looked at the same thing, but what they saw determined their response. When you look at your situation, what do you see? What do you say? Amen. Paul said in the book of Acts, he said, "I've been faithful to the heavenly vision. I've not been disobedient to the heavenly vision. What God has called me to do, I've done it." Remember what we've said early on, reach up, reach in, reach out. When you look up, you'll see your heavenly calling. You'll know what God has called you to do. Are you ready for the Word of God today? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your Word that is full of authority, full of grace, full of purpose, full of light and life, O Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, as I share your Word, let your people hear your voice upon my voice, O Father, and touch their hearts and bring change, O Father, to take them from where they are to where you want them to be. Make haste to help us, O Lord, and we give you praise for that. Bless your Word in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well, look at this. Abraham is in a very difficult situation. God has spoken to him to do certain things, and he took Lot with him. Go to Genesis 13, verse 14 in your Bibles quickly. I'll read from the screen for you guys. Genesis 13, verse 14. "And the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had departed or separated from him, lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward." So I want to teach you a few principles here. Number one, when the Lord spoke to Abraham to go, did the Lord say, "Abraham, take Lot with you"? No, he didn't. So I want to tell you, when the Lord has given you a heavenly vision and a mandate, be very careful to take people with you on the journey when God has not told you to do that. Because Lot cost Abraham the best of the promised land. I know God is speaking to you, some of you already, that took people with you, family with you, that you were not supposed to take with you, and they took the best of the land. So guess here what the Lord says. After Lot had separated himself, moved away, the Lord spoke to him. It's not that Lot was evil. Turn to the person next to you and say, "Lot was not evil." Because we know that the Bible says, Lot, when he sat in Sodom, in the porches there, in the gate, his righteous soul was tormented. So he was a good man, but he was not the right person to go with him. I hope I'm talking to some of you here. It's not that some people are evil, but when somebody's got a different vision than you, it can cause division. It's not that they're evil. Lot was a good man, he was a righteous man. But he looked at things differently than Abraham. He looked at things from a natural point of view. Whereas Abraham was a spiritual man that looked with spiritual eyes. Go to verse 10. 13 verse 10. It says, "And Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of the Jordan." that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go towards Zoar. And you see that he looked with his natural eyes. He saw it's beautiful, it's green, there's a lot of water. I want that. That was supposed to be part of the promised land. But Abraham was the one who walked in covenant with God. And after that, he said to him, lift up your eyes and see. When you lift up your eyes, what do you see? Turn to the person next to you, say the best is yet to come. Do you know why we can say that? Because God has planned good things for you. Many times you've taken the wrong people with you. It's not that they are bad, but they're just not seeing where you are going and what God wants to do in you, with you, and through you. The Lord said to Abraham, now that you've separated yourself, it's only after he separated himself, he says, now lift up your eyes, look and see the land that I've given you. Faith sees the invisible, faith believes the impossible, and faith receives the incredible. It's the look of faith. When he looked, he could see. Can I tell you something? When he said, look and see, in your situation where you find yourself, you have to act immediately and start moving in the direction that God wants to take you. Because faith requires action. Faith acts now, faith believes now, and faith receives now. You can go read that, the rest of that chapter. He actually said to him, go and walk through every part of the land that I've given you, from the north to the south, from the east to the west. Not go and possess it, just go and walk. Turn to the person next to you, say, take the first step. Can I tell you something? Vision. Vision sometimes will scare you. When the Lord shows you what he wants to do, it can sometimes be overwhelming, but vision brings hope. When God gives you a prophetic picture of your future, he's not going to show you everything. Can I have one amen? How do I know that? Because he did it to Joseph. He showed Joseph just the end result, where his brothers and his father, everybody are kneeling in front of him. He showed him the end result. But somehow the pit and the prison and the lying and the cheating, he just forgot about that. Didn't forget about that. Showed him a prophetic picture of his future vision. You have to be able to look past where you are right now to where God wants to take you. Vision brings hope into your heart. When you're in the pit, vision brings hope to show you where you should be. Family, listen to me. If you're only focusing upon your need, your situation and your circumstances, if you are looking down only at that, you'll miss what God wants to do there. One of the greatest needs that people have is money. And if you're only looking down at your money need, focusing upon money, a large portion of life will pass you by. Am I talking to the right people here this morning? Turn to the person next to you and ask them, what do you see? Can I tell you something? Parents, listen to me. What you see has an impact on your children's children. The number one thing that you should be able to see in yourself is Christ Jesus. Because when you see Jesus in yourself and you can show that to your children, they will see Jesus in them, in themselves, and they'll be able to manifest that to the next generation. What you see is for your children's children. The Lord said to Abraham, what you see is an inheritance for your children. Turn to the person next to you, say, what you see is very important. You have to be able to look beyond your own needs. You have to be able to look beyond the pit and see the palace. You have to be able to look beyond the prison and see the palace, because it will impart hope and strength in your heart. Vision is one of the most important things, what you see. Look at what the Bible says in Proverbs 19, verse 18. I'm going to read three translations. The Amplified says, where there is no vision, no redemptive revelation of God, the people perish. But he who keeps the law of God, which he includes that of man, blessed, happy, fortunate, and enviable is he. So you need vision. Vision for the future. Vision gives you hope. The Passion Translation says, where there is no clear prophetic vision, people quickly wander astray. When you don't know where God is taking you, it's easy to go astray. If people can't see what God is doing, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. Do you have a clear prophetic picture of where God is taking you? Young people, let me just say something. If you don't have a clear picture, it's very easy to get a clear picture. Reach up, reach in, reach out. Reach up, touch the heart of God, allow God to touch your heart, and you'll be able to go out and know what you're supposed to do. One of the things all of us are called to do, the reason why God placed Joseph in the palace was for the salvation of many people. Turn to the person next to you and say, reach out. Tell them, win souls. Turn to the person on the other side, say, get somebody saved. I hope I'm helping some of you here. Joseph was placed in the palace for the salvation of many souls. It wasn't just for him to be in the palace. Esther was placed in the palace to save souls. Daniel's obedience caused the whole nation to turn to God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's obedience caused the whole nation to turn to God. So your heavenly vision, your calling is very important. If you're not sure what to do, it's very easy. Start reaching up, reach in, reach out. Love God, love yourself, love people. That's the greatest commandment. When you start taking a step in that direction, you'll see everything will fall in place. Vision, vision. Don't focus on the need. Focus on the vision. Amen? What is our vision? We want to take this nation for God. We want to get as many people saved as possible before Jesus comes back. So even in slaying the giant, it's not about the need. It's about the vision that we want to reach more people. Turn to the person next to you and say, vision. So, can I talk to everybody? If you don't have a clear vision, what did Jesus even say to his disciples when he met with them? In John 4, verse 35, he said, do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes. What did he say to Abraham? Lift up your eyes. That's the look of faith. When God says, lift up your eyes, he says, look beyond what you're seeing with your natural eyes and see what I want to do. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. Don't say next year, I'm going to reach out. Faith acts now. Now we start reaching out. Amen? Family, listen to me. Small things that seem ordinary in the natural has got an extraordinary effect in the spirit. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. So what's the first thing that happens? If you allow people to experience the life of God, those are the seeds that you are planting. Guess what? Life-giving seeds are coming into your life. You're a life-giving spirit like Jesus is a life-giving spirit. You can go and bring hope and light and life to people. Turn to the person next to you and say, take one small step. Many of you that want your situation to change should just change your focus. Many of us want to go to the palace, but we are looking down at the prison the whole time. Let me rephrase it. For Abraham could have looked down and murmured about what he lost, the best of the land that was taken from him. Oh, why did I make that mistake? Why did I? He could have looked down at that the whole time. But he said, I'm not going to do that. The Lord said, lift up your eyes. Look of faith in the future and see what I want to do. Can you see what God wants to do? If you don't have a clear vision of what God wants to do, just start by reaching up, by reaching in and reaching out and moving in that direction. You'll see what God will do. Because once you start reaching out and you get people saved, eternal life comes to them. That eternal life comes back into your own life. And God will start to do far more abundantly above whatever you could think or dream. Let's go to verse 37. Let me just show you. For in this saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I send you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labors. What does that mean? It means other people worked hard. But because you were obedient and stepped into that to go into the harvest field, started reaping on places you did not sow. That sounds like this generation of us. Amen. Who of you would like God to do something for you and you did nothing? Come and just be honest, man. Who of you would just like the windows of heaven to open up and flood you with God's goodness and you didn't even ask for the goodness? Yes. Do you know how you activate that? Go win souls. When you win souls, you touch the heart of God. When you touch the heart of God, God will touch your heart. When God touches your heart, you'll go out and touch the heart of a community. Can you see that cycle the whole time? Loving God and loving people. But before you love people, love yourself. Turn to the person next to you, give them your best quality smile and say, I love you. And now look at them with a better smile and say, I love myself. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand for that. Family, listen to me. This is the kingdom way. Vision brings hope. Vision brings hope. Vision anchors your soul. Vision gives you determination. Vision helps you to go on. You know, here we sit today, a multicultural church, 28 cultures in our church, and we thank God for that. But you know, the first service that we had didn't look like this. And when I preached my heart out afterwards, I said to my wife, what I saw is not what I'm seeing here right now. And it didn't discourage me, but I held on to that prophetic picture. I looked towards that prophetic picture and I say, Lord, make it happen, make it happen, make it happen. Started praying and saying, Lord, please, multicultural church. You know, you'll laugh. I mean, in those days I prayed, I said, Lord, I'm talking about 22 years ago, said, send us a multicultural couple to come to church. Touch somebody's heart. They're in the church still today. I won't put them on the spot but they're still in the church today. The husband was in another country on the internet. And the Lord said, there's the church. We were in the Magister's Hall. When you reach up to God and you say, God, help me, God will see that. God will help you with your vision because the vision that we have is not my vision, it's God's vision. And God's vision has become our vision. Amen? Let me hear you say, reach up, reach in, reach out. That means pray for me. Pray for yourself, pray for your community. Can I tell you something? You know why vision is so powerful? Because vision is breathed by God into us. It's the very light and life of God. Your purpose does not come to you. Your purpose you discover on the inside of you because it comes from God. That's why you have to reach up. And allow God to reach in, and then you'll reach out. Many of you are looking out there. I mean, it's raining today. We've even got places where it's leaking. We've got buckets. But in this week, God was sharing with me, just when it was raining like this, don't look at the bucket. Look at the fountain. Many of us are looking at buckets to be filled with water and things that we need. And God says, don't look at the bucket. Look at the fountain. Focus. Focus. Amen? So, look at what Job said. You gave me life and favor itself and incredible love. You watched and guarded every breath I took. God breathes vision into us. Saul had a calling, a purpose for his life, but he couldn't see it. He was hit with blindness. But when his eyes were open, he knew exactly what to do. You can go read the whole. Actually, a matter of fact, he immediately started preaching the word of God. When God had touched him, he immediately reached out and he started ministering. Vision is to see what you were born to do. And while you're figuring it out, I'm telling you, win souls. Reach up, reach in, reach out will help you to stay on the true north. Get connected to God, let God touch your heart, and reach out into the community. While you're still figuring out exactly what God wants to do in you and with you and through you, I can assure you part of that vision is to win souls. Turn to the person next to you and say, win souls. The Bible says, he who wins souls is wise. Amen? Why? Because when you allow the light and the life of Christ to enter into other people to experience salvation, those are the seeds that you are planting. And those are the things that will come into your own life. Job 33 verse 4 says, the Amplified says, it is the Spirit of God that made me, which has stirred me up, and the breath of the Almighty that gives me life, which inspires me. Who inspires us? God. Can you see the need every day to reach up, reach in, and reach out? God is the one who gives life, who gives favor. When you have a vision to expand the kingdom of God, God will just bless the work of your hands to help you so that you can fulfill that vision to win souls. Just think in your mind what Joseph had to go through, how many things happened for him to get into the palace, to help thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people. Family, listen to me. You were made to glorify God. You are number one, made to love God. Number one is to love God with all your heart. Love yourself. Let me hear you say, I love myself. Say, I love God. I love myself. I love my neighbor. That is it. While you're still figuring everything out, those are the three things that you're going to do. Love God, love yourself, love your neighbor. Amen. When you lift your eyes, what do you see? When you lift your eyes, what do you see? God wants to do something extraordinary in your life. That's why it says, lift your eyes. Look of faith. The look of faith. I'm going to close with this. You need faith, not for the possible. You need faith for the impossible. What God wants to do in your life is extraordinary. But what do you see? I love what the book of Amos says. It says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper and the treader of grapes, he who sows seeds. Can you imagine? For that to happen is not something that can happen in the natural. It's something that happens in the spirit. Can you sow and you enjoying the harvest already? No, you cannot. But God is the one that can make that possible in your life. That while you are still thinking of planting a seed, the treader of grapes already busy there. That is supernatural, extraordinary. If you try and figure that out with your mind, you'll go bonkers. But when you say, Lord, let it be according to your word, do something extraordinary. Sometimes when we look at something that's impossible, we just need to ask God, open my eyes. Think about Moses. God says, go. Yeah, he gets to the Red Sea. Valleys on the side, the Egyptians comes from behind. You need to see what God is seeing, that he says, I'm going to take you through and close that water up so the enemy cannot pursue you anymore. Let me leave you with this. When we talk about seeing, Elisha and his servant is one of the things that comes to mind. Those that are for us are more than those that are against us. You know the story. I want to ask you this question. Was the solution there already, or did it come when the man of God was praying? The solution was there already. He didn't call a prayer meeting and say, let's pray that God will cause confusion in the ranks of the enemy. Send helpers. God brought the answer already to Elisha. Angels were there already. The only thing that needed to happen, his eyes needed to open so that he could see. Many times God has brought us the solution, but we cannot see it. Am I talking to the right people here? I'm going off topic now, I'm thinking about Jeremiah that says, the man who puts his trust in man will not see when good comes, but he who puts his trust in God will again not see when evil comes. Can you see your focus determines what you will see? I'm closing with this. I was saying, God, I was just thinking about it. I was saying, God, how many angels did Elijah's servant see that faith was stirred up in his heart to know that those that are for us are more than those that are against us? How many angels? I'm closing with this. I'm submitting this to you. It's not a new doctrine that I'm teaching. But the Lord said to me, I'm no respecter of person. I'm no respecter of person. And what I will do for you, I've done for others in the past. Because God loves you as much as he loves any of his apostles, any of his prophets. Turn to the person that you say, God loves you just as much. So what does that mean? It means God will do for you what he's done for Elijah. And what he's done for Elisha, what he did for Peter, what he did for Paul. So I was reading, Jesus, when he prayed, or Jesus, when he was questioned, he said, don't you think I can pray and ask my Father and he will send help to me? He will send how many angels? 12 legions. Turn to the person, say 12 legions. You know how many angels 12 legions are? 72,000. 72,000. If we believe that God is no respecter of person, wherever you go, you should believe that God has sent 72,000 angels to be with you. Start to give thanks for the inheritance that you have in Christ Jesus. Because if God did it for Jesus, he'll do it for you. Some of you need to walk into the marketplace tomorrow morning like 72,000 angels are backing you. Some of you need to pray for your children, for your business, for your marriage, like 72,000 angels are involved helping with the assignment. Because that's what God has done. What do you see? What do you see? And I just said, God, thank you. Thank you. For 72,000 angels, 12 legions. If 12 legions was, Jesus did not ask for 12 legions. He said, do you think my Father will not give 12? So I'm telling you now, what do you see? The answer is there already. The solution is there already. God requires of us, he says, I want you to love me and love your neighbor as you love yourself. This is the greatest commandment. What God is asking of us, to reach up, reach in, reach out. Can you wake up in the morning and see your Jesus on the throne and say, Father, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Holy Spirit, I love you. Lord, fill me with your love until it overflows to others and help me to be one with the difference. Telling you now, from this day, when you look at people, don't say 4 months from now or 4 years from now, maybe they'll get saved. Look at them and see that the harvest is ready. Hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to you and reach out to the right people. Amen? And let them come and experience the presence of God. I assure you, as you wake up every morning, look at life completely different. If you start with, Father, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Holy Spirit, I love you. Holy Spirit, I need you today. Help me. Fill me with your presence, O Lord. Let it overflow to others. Your life will never be the same. You will see things will start to change around you because you will behave differently. When you go into a difficult situation and fear wants to grip your heart like the servant, say, Lord, open my eyes that I may see. And you'll see the answer, the solution is there already. Maybe God will give some of you grace to see 72,000 angels. I know when you see 72, 1,000 angels, your walk will change, your speech will change, your prayer will change, everything will change. Selah.
Thanks for listening. Visit www.hoc.org.za to learn more. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.